Blog Talk Radio.
The following broadcast is brought to you by the iGolf Sports Network. The Women of Golf Show is sponsored by the iGolf Sports Network and Golf Tips Magazine. iGolf Sports is a live stream broadcast and media production company providing quality programming designed to attract the golfing enthusiast. And Golf Tips, the game's most in-depth instruction magazine with insightful reviews on the latest equipment, tips from top teaching professionals, helping you improve your game from tee to green. Good morning. Welcome to the Women of Golf, the number one women's golf show around the world, with hosts Ted Odorico and Cindy Miller. Join them as they interview some of the best players from the Epson, LPGA, and Legends Tour, and so many others helping to elevate women's golf. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Ted and Cindy.
All right, good morning, everybody, and once again, welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Odorico, and right alongside, of course, is none other than Legends Tour player and LPGA professional, Cindy Miller, and we are your hosts here on the Women of Golf. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I am doing very well. Happy Easter, my friend. I know it's a couple days late, but better late than never, as they say, right?
Absolutely. Happy Easter to you.
So, thank you. So, did you get together with family over the weekend?
I did. Two of the three children came with their children, and we had some Easter eggs out on the front lawn. So, we had one that was six, one that was almost three, two that are one and a half, and one that's 5 months old. So,
wow. That's when they're still cute, when they're young like that, and you can have some fun, and then they get a little bit older.
They're
and
always
kind of
cute, Ted.
I know. All right. We got a great show for you this morning. We're going to be joined a little bit later on by our good friend, Debbie Wakus, speaker, author, and founder of Golf for Cause. She's back to talk a little bit about her business and maybe give us an update on the Marilyn Smith Pro-Am event, which is coming up at the end of this month. We'll get the scoop on that for her. But first, we're going to be entering into the No BS Zone. We haven't done one of these in a few weeks. And we're going to talk about the coaches helping players adapt. And let me just sort of clarify this. This is not necessarily adapt to one specific philosophy or one thing, but just an overview of different things that a variety of different players might be faced with or challenged with. And it's up to us as coaches, you know, teacher professionals, whatever, to help our players adapt under different circumstances. And also it's an opportunity for us to kind of brush up on our skills as we go along. So, Cindy, here's the first one that we're going to talk about here. And I'm just sort of using as an example, as more of a reference. But we're going to talk about, let's say, a more intermediate golfer in this particular scenario. So you've done your assessment and discovered that this particular golfer has a pretty good understanding of the fundamentals of golf, but still struggles with their consistency. So they're still, you know, they're setting up pretty good. They got a pretty decent grip, but they're still struggling a little bit and hitting the ball consistently. How would you proceed from here? What are some things that you might want to do at this point?
Well, I would look to see where their misses go. And then I would ask them if they know why they miss it, where they miss it. And if they don't know, typically they don't know. They think they know. And then I would try to make an adjustment and help them understand why they miss it, where they miss it. And then I would help them understand why it goes where it goes, and then help them learn how to think about what they're doing with the club to make them hit it straight on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think that's a good.
I don't think most people understand that they need to think about what they're doing with the club when they swing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just swing and think the ball should go straight.
Right.
What do you think?
Exactly. I think you're exactly right. I think the other thing, too, is even though, you know, during that assessment, they do have an understanding of some of the fundamentals. They're maybe setting up and aligning correctly in that. But if they're not consistent, there's other things that could be happening. Number one, obviously, depending on where the ball is going, as you pointed out, maybe their grip is not, they may have an understanding, but maybe they're not gripping the same every time. Maybe one time it's a little bit of a weak grip. Maybe it's a strong grip the next time. And so that can bring inconsistency. I'd also want to look at how they're swinging the golf club too. I want to look at, are they coming too far on the inside? So, when we talk about looking at some of the fundamentals, yeah, it's easy to get a basic understanding of that, but it's very simple in this game with just even some of the minor tweaks here and there that things can go awry. So, yeah, you want to really maybe even assess them again and look at some of those things causing it. Look at some of the root causes. And, as you always talked about, that club face has to be square at impact. And if it's not square at impact, well, then that's going to create, I'd want to look at their path. Are they coming from outside to in, inside to out, or straight down the line? I'd want to see what that club path is doing. Is that consistent? Because that can, again, open up a door. So, some great points that you raise, and I think it's, the one thing about what we do is it's a never-ending opportunity for us to reassess, look at some of the issues that could arise. And day-to-day, everybody plays differently every day. I don't care what level you are. Everybody comes with a new set of issues each day, whatever you want to phrase it as. So, you have to sort of regroup. And I think by looking at some of the potential problems, like the club face, like the path, as mentioned, and seeing are those consistent, is going to help open the doors for you as a coach to be able to assess what the problems really are. And I think once you do that, offer solutions to be able to get them back on track. So I think that's really what needs to happen here, in my opinion. Agree, disagree, want to add anything?
No, I agree. I think, I used to do clinics on the Epson tour, and I would ask each one of the girls to, where'd you go to college? How long you've been on tour? And what are you working on? And I would ask the girls to state that so that the people that were listening to the clinic would understand that even though these girls are professional golfers, they're all working on something. Nobody arrives. And so,
right.
One day you can be working on your setup, and another day you could be working on your grip, and another day you could be working on alignment. And you never arrive. Like you said, every day is different. So,
mm-hmm.
So many people come to the range and they just want to hit the ball. And they aren't aware
yeah.
that they have to know what they're doing with the club to be able to hit the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, and you have to be working on something each time. Even if it's if it's just a warm up before you're going out to play, that's not the time to be working on anything specific. Maybe reinforce the things that you have been working on, but you don't want to start making changes right before you're ready to go out and play around, because then that's just a recipe for disaster. But when you're going up for a regular practice session, even if you're not with your coach, there's things that maybe you and they have discussed that need working on, work on those. And then maybe, and sometimes there might be multiple things. So instead of trying to work on everything all at once, why not just each time you go up there, maybe take, depending on what it is. I mean, if it's something fairly simple, you can maybe lump a couple of the guests, but there might be two or three things that you're working on. Why not address one at a time, work on that. And once you feel you're confident, then you can add the next one in and say, okay, I'm going to work on this too. Sometimes if you get too much going on in your head and too many things to work on at once, it can get confusing and it gets a little bit overwhelming as well. So just some food for thought. Always make sure that your coach assess the situation, that you both have an understanding what the problems are, and then let he or she create some solutions to help you get back on track. So great points there, Cindy. All right, this is kind of an interesting one here. Very, very simple, but a lot of coaches like to offer group lessons. So as a golfer, really at any level, doesn't matter what level here, how can a golfer get the most out of a group lesson? your thoughts?
You would have to define the group lesson. So I do group lessons, and I ask, I don't say, oh, today, I call it a clinic is where you might do a short game clinic or a chipping clinic or a putting clinic. I don't do that. I do group lessons, and every person mm-hmm. can work on what they need to work on. So there might be six people there, and everybody's working on something different. Mm-hmm. And I let them work on what they want to work on. So I don't know if that's what you're looking for. Probably not.
Yep.
But.
no, that's a great. So, no, any. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And so each person can work on what they need to work on to be able to hit it better. In my group lesson. Now, if I'm doing a short game clinic, we're all going to do the same thing. You know,
right.
and work on the short game. But in a group lesson, they're going to all work on what they need to work on to get better. Be their takeaway,
right.
it might be their group, might be alignment. You know, they might start doing short swings just to hit it clean. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
I think from a group, yeah, that's a great answer. You know, again, you're giving two different scenarios, which is great. So it lets people understand the differences between a clinic and obviously a typical group lesson. I think what I would like to see more golfers do, I think sometimes people jump into a group lesson because maybe they're a little bit more nervous about doing a one-on-one right away. So a lot of times, which is a good idea to get involved and come in as a group, that way it alleviates a little bit of pressure. But what I like to see people in a group lesson do, and I'm just using a typical traditional group lesson, not a clinic, is I want them to be engaging. I want them to ask, not be afraid to ask questions. Or if they don't understand something, bring that point up. Say, I'm not quite clear what you're talking about here. Can you explain it again or maybe do it? Because everybody, as we know, Cindy, learns differently. And sometimes maybe if they're more visual, maybe the question you might want to put to the coach is say, could you maybe demonstrate what you're talking about here so I can get a better understanding? So you want to be engaging. And I think that's how you get the most out of a group lesson. Obviously, you need to pay attention and you need to follow.
Yeah.
Right. Am I not right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what I was sort of getting here is, you know, if you're sitting like a bump on a log and you've got six people there and everybody's doing their thing and you're not really clear or understanding what's happening, or you have questions, but you're nervous and afraid to ask, there is no, in my opinion, there is no stupid question. Or silly question. You know, if it's something that you're not clear, because I guarantee you others in that group are probably struggling with some, it may not be with the same thing, but they're having some issues or may have questions as well. So I think if you kind of lead by example and say, hey, I'm not clear about this, can you maybe explain it differently so that I have a better understanding, whatever the case is. So be engaging, I guess, is one of the ways to get the most out of a group lesson. And never be afraid to ask those questions. So, right?
For sure. For sure, for sure.
All right. So this is one I know we've tackled before, but a little bit. So junior golfers who obviously have some potential, you know, they're showing, hey, they've got some game, often feel a lot of pressure from overactive parents. So as a golf coach, how do you find the right balance and help them, meaning the parents, be more supportive as opposed to a helicopter parent? What do you do? Do you kick them off the range? You know, what do you do, Cindy? I mean, the kids are already under a lot of pressure to perform and play at their best. Now, all of a sudden, they got somebody circling the pad, you know, chirping and whatnot. How do you deal with the parents?
Well, so the group lessons, I sit everybody down and with the kids and the parents, and I kind of just say, you know, we're going to, it depends on the level. So if they're all kind of new, I say, okay, let's everybody sit down, and I'm going to say, I'm going to teach them how to do things. We're going to have fun. We might do some drills. You parents have to sit in the chairs. I don't need your help. I had one dad who now loves me, but I'm sure he wanted to kill me. I'm like, Mark, sit down. Brooke does not need you. And so, again, you know, I have to say that. And this poor kid hasn't ever played in a tournament, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh, thank you, Miss Cindy, and, you know, whatever. When it gets more than that and they play in tournaments, I just have to say, please don't push. And I try to do it in a group setting so that I don't,
sure,
you know, point right at them. I tell them stories about how some kids get, you know, they hate golf. I tell them stories,
yeah,
about, you know, just going to college with kids who went to the IMG Academy and now they caddy and they hate golf and they don't play on tour because they went to this school that was, you know, $70,000 a year and their parents made them go there and now they absolutely hate golf. I had somebody, yeah, yesterday whose mom wanted to know about how you become, get on Team TaylorMade. So I texted a kid that played golf with Jamie, who's a big shot at TaylorMade. I go, hey, how does one become a Team TaylorMade person, you know, a junior golfer? Send me their resume. If they're a hot shot, and I'll make sure it gets to the right people. I said, oh, you know, again, it's back to that saying we had in our house, let your clubs do the talking. I said, so
right,
you know how you played golf over the weekend and you didn't do your stats? We need your stats. You can have an Instagram account and be a hot stuff, but if you don't do your stats and you don't shoot the scores, Team TaylorMade doesn't want you. It's all about what,
yep,
you shoot. So I said that to
right,
the mom, and I said, and you quit doing the stats for her. I said, you know, I keep my own stats on the scorecard. It's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can put them in the swing
right,
you when you're done. You know, again,
mm-hmm,
so I think it helps the fact that, you know, if you've been there and done it yourself, and 99% of the coaches that teach golf have done that, that if,
yep,
you kind of get a little stern with them and say, this,
mm-hmm,
is the way it works,
yep,
and here's what, you know, what we have to do. We have to get two or three college golf coaches on our program, and I'm going to work on that. Because I had,
mm-hmm,
a parent say to me last weekend, the girl said to me, oh, I heard I have to have an Instagram golf account. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to have an Instagram golf account. I said, for what? For college. I said, for what? Oh, because the coach wants to see it. Why? She goes, I don't know, but that's
right,
what I heard. And I said, why don't we try to break 100 first?
Right.
And now I'm being flipped. But that's true. This girl can't break 100 for 18 holes. And
right,
and so then her dad said that there was a guy that was going to film her and edit the videos. I go, why would you do that? Well, to show her progress. I said, no one cares what her swing looks like when she's shooting 55. Well, to show how,
yep,
much better it gets. I said, no one's going to look at her swing when she's shooting 55 and then 50 and then 45. Just if she shoots 72, they care. And
right,
I hate to be a lip and a snot, but that's the truth.
Yeah, no, you're
so
exactly
again,
right.
It's like, and then he said, well, there's someone that will help get her recruited. And I said, stop. Do not pay anyone. Do not pay anyone to try to get her recruited. Number one, let's break 90, let alone 100.
Yep.
So I'm really going to reach out to a couple coaches. And if they won't be,
yeah,
on,
no,
our program, I'm going to send out a Jot Form survey. So if any golf coaches are listening, please reach out to me, Cindy at CindyMillerGolf.com, because I need to know. And I asked my son, because he knows, you know, some of the guys he played college golf with, that, and he goes, Mom, maybe it's true. Maybe they want to see Instagram accounts because, you know, Jamie's 38 now and maybe things have changed.
Right.
And I said, well, that could be.
Well, I think what's happening is I think that, you know, because they're recognizing that kids are on social media, they're trying to gauge, I think, a couple of factors. They're probably trying to gauge, you know, what are they doing? What are they doing on their social media? Is it, you know, something that, and I think it's a way of promotion too, not just for the individual, but maybe they're looking for some team promotion together and, hey, look, you know, here we're a team, blah, 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 blah. The thing is, I think going back real quick to the parents, I think what happens is the parents feel, hey, we're shelling out a lot of money, you know, for this golf school or whatever the case is. And, you know, we want to have some sort of say into it. So I think that's why, you know, I mean, if I was paying $70,000 to go into, you know, a top level school, I think I would be, you know, probably wanting to say, hey, wait a minute, I want to have some say here too. I'm spending a lot of money. But it, you have to trust the process. And, you know, to your point is you have to be able to let your, you know, about recruiting as an example, I guarantee you, if you're shooting good numbers, you're going to get noticed, especially if you're playing in junior events and things like that. Those guys, those people watch, they're looking for stuff like that. They don't care what you're doing on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know, the kids are jumping on today. They want to see how well you're going to play. And if you're a crummy player, but you've got a big following on social media, that means beans to them because that just means you're more, you're self-promoting and you're not really person they're looking for. But we got to move on real quick, but there's a lot of discussion. Yeah, if you can get some coaches on here, let's get them on here and let's have a discussion. If we want to bring a couple of them on at the same time, that's even better. But whatever happens, let's reach out and get them to coming on the show. And so if you're a coach, reach out to Cindy at CindyMillerGolf.com. Tour players, Cindy, often seem unflappable, as they say, but the truth is they suffer just like the rest of us, the same on-course anxieties. So as a coach, what can you do to reinforce, a more positive mindset?
Well, you have to, again, you have to learn to breathe. Watch Wyndham Clark, what's it, Full Swing on Netflix? I haven't watched the whole thing, but apparently his part on that show was amazing, and it really showed the truth and how he needed to, you know, get some mental help and stuff. Everybody feels the pressure. It's how do you deal with it? You know, do you breathe? Do you figure out, I've got to play this shot right here, right now? You have to know what you're doing standing over the ball. How do you, you know, plan, prepare, and produce a golf shot? And, you know, you can sit here and say, oh, I have a positive mindset. I have a positive mindset. But if you don't know what you're doing, you know, you can have a positive mindset all day long while you positively hit it out of bounds. You know, you have to know what you're doing when you're standing over a shot. And you have to have a process. So everybody gets afraid, but you have to know what, the more you know yourself, the more you can focus on what you need to do. And everybody is a different personality. Again, Alan talks to himself. I play better when I'm ticked off. I tick myself off on purpose. I better when I'm pursuing rather than protecting. Everybody's right. Different, but you need to know your own self. And when you do that, you know, you can perform to the best of your ability. You know, it's like, Scotty, why did you miss that 5-footer for birdie on the last hole? I don't know. It was time for that other kid to win. God bless him. But, you know,
there's a lot of factors that can go into it. And you're exactly right. I think also, too, is I think what happens with a lot of players is, tour players as well, when they get thinking about too many things, and it ramps up the anxiety. So you have to trust the process. So you have to get yourself to a place that, and this is where things like even something as simple as your pre-shot routine, getting in that routine, going through those steps from point A to point B and so on, and being confident so that when you step over the ball, you're trusting what led up to that point as preparing you for that particular moment. And then you might have one swing thought as you get ready to hit the ball. But what happens to too many people is they're thinking about four different, they're remembering from that last lesson, and I'm getting away from the tour players for a second, but, you know, the average folks out there, they're thinking about, okay, well, the coach said to keep my arm here and do that, and they're thinking about all of these different things while they're standing over the ball. So the anxiety goes up because they're not sure that they properly prepared themselves. So they're not trusting that process. And you have to have confidence, even if you whiff the ball, you have to have confident while you're be confident, excuse me, while you're standing over the ball and getting ready to execute that shot, that you've done all of the steps you need to do leading up to it. Now it's time to trust that. And I think when people don't do that, and I think that's also too, And there's other factors. Tour players, they've got a whole different experience coming into it because now they're under pressure. You know, where am I in the tournaments? You know, am I close to the top? And, you know, what do I need to do to move, you know, that next position up? So there's other factors that get creeped in there that can make, but, you know, when you watch them on television, they just look very laid back and everything, you know, like Freddie Couples. But the truth of the matter is they have the same on-course anxieties that many of us do. They're just better at handling it. And that's what we need to do. So, yeah, you're right. Positive mindset. It's great to be positive. But at the same time, you also have to have a process that you go through as you get ready to play. And if you don't have that and you haven't really worked on something to get you into the right mindset, then it's all for naught. So I think that pretty much covers it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, here's an interesting one. You meet a player who comes up to you, obviously it's not somebody you've worked with, and they're struggling to break 100. They say, you know what, I'm willing to pay for a group of lessons, 5 lessons, let's say. What steps can you do to provide the best opportunity to help them meet that goal? So all they want to do is break 100. Some can maybe say they can do it in one lesson. I'm sure that's possible, but that's their goal. They want to break 100. And we're going to add consistently. So they don't want to just break it once. They want to break 100 and be able to get below that number once and for all. What can we do in a group of lessons that can help them do that?
Number one, how many lessons? They get 5 lessons and they got to break 100?
5. Yep.
Okay. Well, they better hit balls in between.
Yep,
right?
Of course. Yep.
Okay. So, do we get 1 hour lessons?
As long as you want.
Okay. 1 hour lessons. Okay. So, first one, we're going to learn how to hit the ball clean, airborne, and straight on purpose with a setup and a grip. I'm going to videotape them. They're going to do small swings with like an 8-iron back and through. And then they're going to do maybe a hybrid in that lesson. And then they're going to do maybe a 5 wood. And then they have to hit balls for a week. And then they're going to come back in. And then they're going to do the next lesson. Can I do on-course lesson?
Sure, of course.
Okay. Then we're going to go play a couple holes on the next one, and then we're going to go back on the range and show them how they tried to hit the ball. So part of that second lesson is going to be 2 holes on the golf course starting out. Now, we might hit like a half a bucket, then we're going to play 2 holes, and we're going to go back on the range just to show them how much they tried to hit the ball. And the third lesson, we're going to chip and putt. And the fourth lesson, we're going to do the whole golf swing. And the fifth lesson, I'm going to take them out and play 9 holes with them. And they're going to learn how to do it. What are you going to do?
Pretty good. Real quickly, first lesson, first and foremost, I want to find out what it is they're doing that's preventing them from breaking 100. I want to see exactly what they're doing. So that's what the first lesson is going to be about, is an assessment to take a look and say, okay, what is it you're doing that's preventing you from breaking 100. Obtain that, then depending on how much time we have left, we'll start working on it. But probably what will happen is lesson 2 is when I'm going to come out with a plan saying, okay, here's what you're doing. Here's why you're not breaking 100. And let's parcel out this lesson. Let's work on it. And I'm going to break it down. If it's short game, we're going to work on the short game. If it's other areas of the game, I'm going to break it up in the next couple lessons. And each lesson, I'm going to give them an opportunity. It might be just a couple of holes to play and test out some of this stuff. Probably the fourth lesson, I know I'm skipping over, but I'm doing it because of timing. We're getting close to our time. But I'm going to get them to play a few holes, and then probably on the fourth day, we're going to really focus on how it will maybe do it over a 6 to 9 hole, probably a 6 hole lesson, on-course lesson, where we're going to work on how to be a better player. And understanding how to put everything together. And then the last day, we're going to have them put it all together, and we'll play, you know, nine holes and get them to put it. So first and foremost, they're going to we're going to find out what's causing them, why they're not breaking 100, where are their weaknesses. Then we're going to break it down and work on those things probably in lesson two and three. Lesson four, we're going to incorporate some specifics. And then the last one, we're going to get them out in the golf course and help them break that 100. So that's how I would probably do it. But I think once you identify what the problems are through that initial assessment, then you can, again, parcel out. And if you've only got five lessons, it can be done actually very easily, but it's a matter of understanding what it is that they're doing wrong. And it could be something as simple as they're just not organizing themselves proper. They might have a pretty good, decent swing. They might have a good grip, good posture, all of those things. But if they're not learning how to play, how to be a player out on the golf course, you can be the best ball striker in the world. And we've seen many, many examples on tour where they can hit the ball fantastic, but they're not as good of a player as somebody over here who maybe isn't as good of a ball striker, but they know how to play and score on the golf course. And that's really what it's all about, is how do we break that 100? So a few more questions. We may pick those up on another show, but some great answers. Hopefully that will help all of the listeners out there. We're going to take a very fast break, and then we're going to come back and speak with our very special guest, Debbie Waitkus.
The following ad is sponsored by Golf Tips Magazine.
Are you tired of being short off the tee? And what about those three putts? Forget about it. It's time you got serious about your game. Golf Tips, the most in-depth magazine in the industry. For over 30 years, Golf Tips has delivered expert content such as the latest golf instruction from America's top pros, simple-to-follow practice and game improvement drills, fitness and mental game tips, equipment, training aids, accessory and apparel reviews, golf destinations and travel tips for every budget, and so much more. Don't miss a single issue. Go to golftipsmag.com and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. We're excited once again to be joined by our good friend and special guest, Debbie Waitkus, who is a speaker, author, and founder of Golf for Cause. She founded her company back in 2000 to help empower businesswomen through golf, and her passion for the sport is evident in her work with great organizations like the First Tee of Phoenix and Women in Golf Industry. She's most proud, though, however, of her work with LPGA co-founder and World Golf Hall of Fame member, late Marilyn Smith. She acted as a confidant and co-tournament director of her annual Pro-Am, and the Pro-Am has raised a lot of money for Maryland Scholarship Fund, which has to date awarded over $1 million to young women to attend college. She's also co-founded the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation to forward the spirit and legacies of the trailblazing LPGA founders and pioneers. So, Cindy, let's welcome back our good friend Debbie Waitkus.
Good morning. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Ted. How are you doing today? We're doing great.
We are fantastic. Yeah. Happy Easter, by the way.
Oh, thanks. And right back your way. Right back your way. You know, it's funny, you were talking about all the coaching things, and I can't help but think, you know, like in the First Tee, how we have a line that we draw, and the parents have to stay away. And we let them know that, look at, they can only get one message here, and the message is coming from us. And so they're not allowed to be part of the lesson. They can go inside, they can go hit balls on the range on their own, or they can come back and pick their kids up, because it is such a conflict when you get the parents involved. Such a conflict.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel your pain.
Yeah, we were trying to give the watered down version. We agree with you wholeheartedly, but you know, I'm a firm believer, get them off the range. Or get them off of the site and let them do something themselves. But we were trying to be polite when we were saying that. But yeah, we agree. I think you have to, you know, you can't have conflicting messages first and foremost. And if you're bringing somebody, regardless of what the cost is, if you're bringing somebody to, you know, whether it's Cindy, whether it's me or somebody else in the profession, and you're asking for them to impart their knowledge and wisdom to help your youngster to become a better player, then you have to trust that process and you have to trust that individual. And if you don't, then you need to find somebody that you do, but you can't be just interjecting every, you know, time you don't understand something. Have a discussion with them afterwards if you're confused about something, but don't interfere in the process, because as Cindy pointed out, you know, I'm sure she'd give more examples where kids just drop out because they just get so frustrated because the parents are putting too much pressure on them, and it's just overwhelming.
Exactly.
So, Cindy, I'm going to let you, right? So yeah, Cindy, go ahead. I'll let you go first.
What's going on? Give me some scoop.
Well, you know, your girlfriend Marlene Davis is coming out here, and I think you're going to be elsewhere when she comes to play in Marilyn Smith's Pro-Am and then the senior event. And we're pretty excited about everything going on here. We've got the 25th anniversary of Marilyn's scholarship fund. And if you think about this, 25 years ago, what were we all doing? We were worried about Y2K, you know, where all our computers mm-hmm. going to blow up on us. And Marilyn, who was, she would say, oh, no, I'm a computer dummy. She was more concerned about still forwarding something with girls in golf and making sure that there was a place in golf for girls. And, you know, she started this scholarship fund to basically move things forward, as she always did with everything. So here we are. We're going to celebrate 25 years of her scholarship fund with all of these events. We've got Renee Powell and Sandra Post, who are coming in as the tournament honorees. We couldn't be more excited. And I think, you know, these two ladies, they were both heavily influenced by Marilyn when they were little girls, not only to play golf and become tour members. And she took them under her wing and made sure things were okay. I think at one point when Renee's parents wanted her to come home because she wasn't winning, you know, Marilyn made the phone call to say, oh, no, she's here and she's okay. She's with me. But the two of them put their heads together, and they were like, one day, I think Renee called Sandra in the middle of the night and said, you know, Marilyn's not in the World Golf Hall of Fame. We should do something about that. And they basically put together a campaign and were the instigators of Marilyn being inducted. So, you know, they really respected her and adored her. And she inspired them like she has inspired me and so many others. And so here we are. We're going to celebrate.
Awesome. 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 I wish I could come. I'm getting my right cataract fixed. I can't be there.
Well, you're going to be able to see the ball that much better.
No, I know. Yep. And it's on Tuesday, April 30th, so I absolutely can't be there. And I did try to change the date. The last time we were on the phone, I was like, oh, God, I got to get this done earlier so I can see the ball so I can play with the queen. And I tried to do it, and I couldn't get it done.
That's okay. You'll be with us in spirit. You were here for the very first Senior Open that we held with that bears Marilyn's name. You know, Marilyn, she did the very first senior event in Texas in the 80s because the seniors needed a place to play. And always, again, forward thinking, you know, for sustaining and growing a tour. And, you know, if we can – you know, all swallow a little bit of what that's like, never taking no for an answer, looking at things, how to make them better in our own lives and our own businesses. Wouldn't we all be better off, right?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Couldn't agree
more. She was
awesome.
God, I loved her. Ted, you can ask her a question. I'll let you.
Yep. Real quick, so the folks that are listening, what are the dates?
So the dates of the events run from April the 28th to May 1st. April the 28th is a Sunday tea, which is a meet and greet that's open to the public, and we will honor the two ladies, Sandra and Renee. And we're also going to do a little bit of an honorarium for Marlene Hagee, who is the last of the living founders who passed away this past year. So we'll honor her as well. And then on, and Joe Passoff is going to be doing the interviews for that. And Traveling Joe, he's just, he's an icon. He's wonderful. And then Monday is the Pro-Am, and we have 30 lady pros who are going to be in each of the foursomes. Well, actually, they'll technically be fivesomes, and we're playing that at Gainey Ranch Golf Club, which is an invited club's property. And then the Senior Open is a partners event, as Cindy said she was hoping to play with Marlene Davis, and that'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday, April 30th and May 1st. And so that's a team event. And then it'll be a wrap.
A lot of good things going on in over those few days. And we'll maybe get you to mention that one more time before we let you go in a bit. Now, I'm going to confess, I grabbed these off of your website, Golf
okay.
for Cause, and because I wanted to ask you things. I mean, we had you on, a little over a month ago, I guess it was now. We talked a lot about Marilyn Smith and love to talk about her, but I wanted to give you an opportunity. That's why you're back, to talk about you and about your business and things that you're doing to help. So the first one, you'll recognize these, obviously. Golf leagues help business people connect. Talk about that. This is something that you're very passionate about, is bringing people together, particularly more business women, empowering them through golf. So how does helping business people connect, how does that parcel out for you?
Well, I think that the power of bringing people together, especially around golf, we as women are very social. And I think one of the things that I've learned over the years is that there are so many men who enjoy being around women or want to learn how to be around women in a golf environment, because more and more women are in business making decisions and around the proverbial conference table, if you will, and have to learn how to engage with each other. And the golf leagues are a perfect way to make that happen, and setting them up in such a way that the majority of skill levels, regardless of your skill level, that you're welcome to be there. And the first league that I actually set up with a client was with a woman who, her name is Maureen Karabatsis, and she had worked for banking for many, many years and made a transition over into title. And she wanted people to remember her as Maureen the title gal versus Maureen the banker, and have them call her for the right reasons. And she asked me, after going through a business golf workshop, if doing a golf league might be a good idea. And I told her I thought it was fabulous. And then she said, okay, so now what do we do, right? But we set this up, and this is, oh, good golly, I want to say like 2002, 2003. That group stuck together for 15 years, at which point she moved out of town, and there was another sponsor, large sponsor for the group as well, and they said, well, you know, if she's leaving, we'll leave too. But the group has stuck together. And we called that group TTFN, Thursday's Time for Nine, which evolved into Take Time for Nine. And it still is together. It's not as formalized with sponsorship and happy hours afterwards and a speaker and prizes and tee signs and all that kind of stuff. But it's the camaraderie and the safety of being able to go out and play with people with whom you're comfortable, and getting to the point that it doesn't matter with whom you're paired, because you're still going to be comfortable in this environment. And it's a great way to learn about each other, to be able to be human with each other. And then, you know, we like to give business and do business with people that we know and that we're comfortable with. And so that's, I think, a natural outcome. We have people who come to play not for that purpose, not for the business purpose, but it happens anyway, because that's we're human, right? There's a new league that is starting up here in Arizona at Putting World, and we're calling it WOW, Women on Wednesdays, and it's just putting. So your skill is actually pretty safe if it's indoor putting. And they're testing it out as a six-week league. And Wednesdays happens to be the day where there are half-price bottles of wine. So That seems to be perfect for for happy hour on Wednesdays for the women. So they're two-person teams, and we'll see how that goes. But there are so many different ways to connect and forward relationships, and that's really what it's about.
Right. Somebody obviously had some foresight planning that WOW event with half price wine. Somebody really put some thought into that. That's good. So another one, too, that I pulled off your site, which I found really interesting, and maybe you could touch on this a little bit, but you refer to life balance, sort of letting go and network to a T. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think life balance is really, really important. We all struggle with that since we're now like 24/7 with social and things like that. But, if I go back to the league for just a second, I put on my calendar my Thursday golf in the afternoon, and I try to guard that time. And I think, when I was going to business school and right afterwards, we called that white space in your calendar. Well, I call it green space so that I can have some time for myself to reflect, to step away from the busyness and allow some humanness back in. And I remember years ago, my husband's when he was on his way home from work, he would stop and play nine holes and just to decompress and start to think about something else other than, the conversation with an employee or the transaction that he had to still get some work done on. It just, it gives you that space. I think golf is a perfect thing for us busy humans to have in order to change gears. We can learn something new, and with golf we're always learning something new, so good, bad, or indifferent. But I think that that's really, really important for us.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm just going to hit one more and then Cindy, I'll bounce it back to you. Business golf, to speak or not to speak, that is the question. I love this one. Go ahead.
Well, as I mentioned before, we as women, we like to talk a lot, and then we'll talk about talking a lot, and we have no problem networking actually anywhere, whether it's a cup of coffee or over the phone or whatnot, or just even going for, when we go for a hike, we can't quite shut up either. So we've brought that to the golf course. And if you look at statistics about the number of deals and the business conversations that happen on a golf course, women actually bring that, the statistic. And I think in the traditional sense of the game, men, at least they used to not speak about golf on the golf course, but it was at the 19th hole or the meal afterwards.
Right.
Or it was just a time together, and then I'd call you, Ted, and say, hey, what about blah, 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 you'll do this with me, right? Yeah, of course I'll do that. But women have had to learn to take their signals, and I'm generalizing here, of course.
Sure.
So let's just say people in general at this point, to take their signals from who's the person in the group that seems to adhere most to the etiquette of, being quiet and not talking while someone is swinging or when they're swinging themselves. I have a good friend who can't help himself from talking when he's swinging. But you have to respect that and then do the follow-up afterwards. And even in our business golf league at one point, we had a guy who let me know, this one gal just kept pestering him, who's your banker? Who's your banker? And what's your banking relationship like? And he's like, look it, can we just play golf? And then she respectfully followed up with him afterwards, and she got his business. But we have to learn when we're supposed to say something. It's like you can – if someone asks you the time, tell them the time. Don't tell them how to build the clock. But you need to take your signals and know that you have to stay in your comfort zone. I personally will like to have had women say, well, can you really play with a guy? Is that okay? Isn't that uncomfortable or awkward? Is it like a date? And I'll say, look, I talk about my husband, I talk about my kids, I keep things, pretty clear.
Right, of course.
And conversation, but know what to say and when to say it. But take your signals with who you're playing to know what the conversation should be about.
Yeah, and I think a big mistake a lot of people make, and again, I'm generalizing, you know, this is an area that I deal with a lot is business golf, and too often I see people coming out right from the first tee, and they're trying to talk business. They brought maybe they've invited some clients or prospects to an event, and right away they're out from the gate. They're talking about business and that, and there's not really – and people don't want that. When if you're being invited to an event and you know you're a prospect of that company, the last thing you want is to be getting a hard sales pitch from the very first tee. You're there to enjoy yourself. And so, yeah, you have to know when to bring things up and when to, you know, talk about certain things. But and that's something that takes practice. You know, it's you might be good in the boardroom, but now you're out in the golf course, and it's a different environment. Cindy, go ahead.
So how do you use the game of golf to grow your business?
Well, I think that's I think it's easy. if you pay attention, we'll just go through a couple of tips here. If I played around with you and with Ted, right, we're going to have some light conversations. We're going to talk about a few things, and those conversations are going to get broken up because we may say something on the first tee together where we're going to be together. And coming off that tee, you may tell me something about your, you know, you've got to have your cataracts done, blah, 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 blah. Well, maybe by the fifth green, we're talking about who's doing it, who else you know that had the same doctor, so you've got this confidence and whatnot. And, you know, those conversations they're spread out. But the more that you can create an opportunity, And especially as a woman, sometimes it's hard because you're alone on the tee if you're playing with some guys. But invite them up. Let them know that, hey, cataracts, right? You know, can't see very well. Can you help me watch my ball? Whether you can or you can't, it gives you an opportunity to have some time with them so that they know when it was a good shot for you or when it was a poor shot for you, but they can help you bird dog your ball. But you as a woman should also be up on the tee with the guys. So that, you know, if you're playing different set of tees, so that you can create those opportunities to be part of a conversation or hear part of a conversation, and then make some notes. And I like to put it onto a business card for that, oh, Cindy's, you know, cataracts, so that when afterwards I can follow up with you and say, hey, you know, how did it go? You know, you doing okay? Are you going to need a ride somewhere? You know, can I help? Or just anything along those lines. So you're reconnecting in a human capacity and forwarding your relationship with that person. Because those are now, if I'm going to call someone afterwards, if I'm going to call you, Cindy, that's now a warm lead. That's not a cold call. And if I need help with a transaction or I'm looking for a lead, it doesn't have to be you, but it could be who do you know that I should call? And you know me now. And hopefully you like me by how well I behave on the golf course and paid attention to your game, not just my game, that's important. And I think, you know, in addition to doing things like being up on the tee with someone, keeping a good pace of play, regardless of how well you play or which game showed up that day for you, it was your A game, your B game, your F game, if you can keep a good pace of play, then people are going to want to play with you. You didn't hold them back. So those, I think, are some good tips for being able to then forward your business relationships.
Absolutely. And, again, people really don't care how you play. They just care how you act.
They care how you act, and they don't want you to compromise how they play.
Correct. Correct. And then lastly, you never know who you're going to meet on the course. Tell us about that.
Oh, good golly. How many times have you played with someone that you're like, oh, my God, that person did this or they did that or they know so-and-so? And it's just the connections that happen. So, you know, you always want to mind your etiquette and have a good pace of play. But you meet the most incredible people on the golf course. I can't begin to tell you how I mean, it's probably pretty clear to you that golf's enriched my life, but it's all been by the people that I've met on the course and around the course. And It could be your doctor, it could be your financial planner, it could be your new best friend. So.
Yep. Totally agree.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am. Ted?
I agree as well. One last question. We're getting ready to wrap up here, and I want to give you an opportunity to give the dates again here in a moment. But what do you say to, and I'm sure you've had this conversation, what do you say to women who have said, you know what, I'd love to, you know, get involved in business golf, but I just don't have the time. How do you handle that conversation? Because you can always make time, but that's, I'm sure, something you've been faced with. How do you sort of convince them that this is an opportunity they don't want to miss?
Well, I think that number one, you need to reframe what business golf is and how to leverage golf business or golf for business. So, for example, Ted, I know you love golf, right? So if we're going to have, if we're going to go for coffee or we're going to go for lunch, I may just schedule lunch at a golf course property that I know is convenient for both of us, that has ease of parking and access. And I'm going to feed your passion by taking you to the golf course for that cup of coffee, right? And so mm-hmm. it's going to connect. I don't have to play, but I've now used golf as a vehicle for I'm letting you know that I know that that's important to you, right? And I'm catering to you. And I'm also letting you know that, hey, golf is okay for me too, right? So golf isn't right. always about the time on the golf course of 4 to 5 hour round of setting up the right. round, that whole dance. But it could even be, you know what, Ted, how about if on Thursday afternoon we go and we hit balls at the range together, right? And yeah. Or we just go do some short game stuff. It can be something that's as easy as going into, or maybe Cindy, I'm going to ask you, do you have a ladies clinic that I can jump into with one of my colleagues? And then she and I can go and have a glass of wine or an iced tea afterwards, right? So try to find some things that already exist that you can plug yourself into. And it might be that I'm just going to buy someone a subscription to a golf magazine. If you know a golf magazine that's in hard print, Ted, I think you've got one of those, don't you?
I sure do.
There you go. And so that client then has something physical on his or her desk at a regular interval that makes him or her think of you, right? All sorts of little things that if you reframe how you define business golf, it's not always playing, right?
Yeah.
Not always playing.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think a lot of people, when they hear that right from the get-go, think, oh, you know, I don't have 4 to 5 hours. But there's so many other opportunities. There's clinics, as you mentioned. You know, there's just something as simple as getting together and having a coffee, maybe, you know, just hitting some balls on the range. The idea is to get the conversation going and to sort of point them in a direction and let nature take its course, so to speak. Because most people, once they get out there, especially if they like the game, now, if they've never been involved in the game, you know, there might be a different approach you want to take. Maybe it's that coffee to start things off and get them out there and see what's going on, and then you kind of ease into it that way. But, yeah, you're right. You have to be sort of think outside the box a little bit and not just automatically assume that they're going to be taken out for a 4 or 5 hour round of golf in mm-hmm. some event or something mm-hmm. because that's just not everybody has that time, certainly not initially, but they will make time down the road once they sort of get bitten by that bug and say, you know what, yeah, I can really see how this would help my business. And there's so many different things that you can do. All right, we got just mm-hmm. a minute left. If you want to give the dates again and also your website, Debbie, for people that want to reach out to you.
You bet. So the dates of the events are April 28th through May the 1st. There will be a silent auction, so I'll be sure to get that information to you. That will be opening on April 21st. And a great website to go to if you'd like to buy raffle tickets, if you'd like to support in any way, is golfitforward.org, golfitforward.org. And you'll see there's a tab that says MS Pro-Am, Marilyn Smith Pro-Am, and then go there and everything will open up for you. And I thank you for your time and your passion for what you do, because you're making such a huge difference.
Well, we love what we do.
Yes, we all do. That's important. That's the key.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I like to say turn golf into gold, and we all define that gold a little bit differently, but it's there to be turned into gold.
For sure. Did we lose Ted?
We might have.
Oh,
lost
you know
Ted.
What? I'm sorry. I did. I did. I'm sorry. I
did
muted
you mute yourself?
Myself by mistake. Yes, I did. Real quick, your website is, yeah, par for the course, as I say. Debbie's website is golfforcause.com. You can check her out there, and she's a great leader in golf business, and check her out as well as the other website. All right, Debbie, thank you very much,
Ted,
as always, for joining us on the Women of Golf, and we'll see you next time.
I look forward to it. Enjoy.
All right.
Thanks,
all right,
Deb.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
All right, real quick, we got to wrap it up. We ran a little bit over time, but want to thank all of you for tuning in, and thanks to our special guest, Debbie Wakis. You can check her out on her website. We'll see you next week here on the Women of Golf. Thanks, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed listening to this week's Women of Golf show. Ted and Cindy wish to thank this week's special guests. Remember to join them every Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the iGolf Sports Network or on any of these social media platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, TalkStream Live, and of course Spotify. To get updates on the show, you can follow the Women of Golf's Facebook page at www.facebook.com/womenofgolf. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.